Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, do we have a special offer?
Yeah, let's do our special offer. No change there. 50% off. Promo code 2022, half off. And particular... our forecast model is still available in all our newsletters, including the cannabis letter, which had an outstanding result this past week with the DEA story. But anyway, yeah, 50% off, and go to VRTrader.com. And also, I like to disclose that just for regulatory purposes, I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. I'm just a newsletter writer and commentator.
Mark, so what is the cannabis story right now?
Well, it was one exciting day this past week on Tuesday, you know, when the story came out about the DEA, and we were, you know, long up to the gills in cannabis-related stocks. So it was, you know, it was a great day for us on paper, you know, with regard to the recommendations that are put into the list. But, you know, it was just one of those days where, you know, we saw some, you know, stocks double or triple, literally, in the same day. So it was just amazing for our clients. And actually, I recommended taking profits. I actually sent out a bulletin. I said, you know, we've got an instance here of, you know, some stocks up 71%, 30, 35, 30, 36, 7% in one day. So, and then it did settle back. And what's going on is that the story came out, you know, this has been rumored for a couple, 3 months that the Drug Enforcement Agency in Washington was going to reschedule marijuana from the 3-level down to the 1-level, which I think it brings it down to the level of Tylenol, if I'm not mistaken. And the street has been expecting this, you know, for a while, and there's been little pops here and there in the stock. So we had an explosive move. There's still, you know, we still have the Banking Act, the Safer Banking Act, which has been hanging around in Congress now for, it's got to be a couple years or more, which would, you know, free up the banking system for the cannabis business, which since officially, even though it's rescheduled from 3 to 1, that doesn't change the illegality of marijuana on the national level. There's actually some bills in Congress that supposedly going to just make it legal across the board. But because of the banking issue and the fact that it's still technically illegal, except in states that have made it legal. Federally, it's not legal. So it's sort of crazy, one agency doing another, and, you know, it's typical government nonsense. So as a result, you know, companies that are in the cannabis business, you know, many cases can't have bank accounts or can't get credit cards and can't conduct business in a normal way. And more importantly, the IRS, Internal Revenue Service, views the companies, because they're operating an illegal business in a legal state, can't deduct their expenses because it's not a legal enterprise. So imagine running a business where you can't write off your expenses. I mean, that's the nonsense that's going on. I mean, it's like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. What's the point in states legalizing it? And now even the DEA bringing it down to a level 3 versus a level 1 when you still have these other onerous aspects. Now, you know, philosophically, you know, there's a whole other issue with it. You know, I mean, I'm more of a conservative, and even though I like business and I think there is medical use for marijuana and it's great and so forth and so on, it's just a very suspicious of the fact that the Democrats in this country and the liberal left is so pro marijuana, and you can start arguing, well, these guys want to dumb down the population, and when this is another method of control, you know what I mean? So it's just got everybody high, or try to get everybody high, you could have more control over the population. So but that thought sort of occurs to me when I hear them push for it, because I really don't respect most of their positions, the way they've been managing, you know, the country and the border and the wars and the expenditures. I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons, but, you know, you could argue any other group of politicians might do the same thing. But so going back to the cannabis, you know, it's in play now. And there were some stories that, you know, as you know, a couple, 3 weeks ago, I think Germany legalized cannabis. So that helped a couple companies, or supposedly could help companies like Canopy Growth, which was a Canadian company originally. I think it was Weed was the original name. And so that sort of helped the story there. Tilray, I think another former or current Canadian company, popped on that German story. But I guess the big thing is trying to break into the American U.S. market. So, I mean, it's a business, and people do benefit from it on a business level, and a lot of people do benefit on a health basis. So, you know, I guess who am I to question, you know, something that's been around thousands of years and people have been using anyway? You know, it's like banning alcohol. You know, they tried that during the Prohibition. Didn't work very well. So, you know, there's evils, necessary evils, choices people make, you know, and they make their own decisions. So that helped that particular sector. And it was a big move, and we feel I'm very happy about it, because, you know, I had put out the word that you should own it, and we've talked about it here, and there was some nice money made for those who got in. I mean, some of these stocks are really cheap, like Canopy Growth. It had, you know, it got down to, I believe, about 30 cents a share, and it had been as high as $58. So then they did a, that's occurred because they did a reverse split on the stock too, to try to get the price up a little bit. So it's really still cheap compared to where it was. So I guess if these laws get enacted and Germany does well and no other obstacles come in the way of it, then I suppose we'll see further price gains here. So I'm still tracking them, and that's the Arcana report letter, if people are interested.
Canada's had legal marijuana for over half a decade. No problems. Haven't heard any major problems whatsoever from it. The people who were using marijuana before it was legal still use it. Haven't heard about increased use because of it. There are no riots in the street. Friends in England say, how can you survive in Canada with legal pot? I say, well, we're the second coldest country in the world, so maybe we need it. Just to get
right, but yeah, what's so slow about the U.S.?
Yeah.
So what happened here is, you know, the states start legalizing it because the federal government wouldn't do it. And then what's really perverse is, you know, the states were sort of left alone. And I forget the there was some type of not an act, but some type of comment or letter posted in recent years. I think it happened in the Obama administration, and essentially said, well, if the state has legalized it, you know, leave them alone. You mean don't go confiscating marijuana that's an illegal substance and arrest people. So out of the blue, about, I think it's 2 weeks ago, a bunch of clowns in New Mexico and the federal government decided that they're enforcing federal cannabis laws and started confiscating cannabis marijuana from legal state operations. And this is like, you know, talk about insanity in government. One hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And so the government, federal government, is leaving the states alone because they were illegal, and suddenly these jokers in New Mexico. I mean, I'm being caustic here because it's really aggravating to me why some officers somewhere decide, oh, I'm going to push the button and go after these people because illegally I can do it. But even though the courtesy had been, yeah, the state said it's okay. So what's the insanity? I mean, what's really going on? Someone obviously has to be paid off somewhere on the federal level to get this thing cleaned up, because it's not happening quickly, which it should be. And we're saying essentially, well, we have conservative people in the U.S. and maybe Canada doesn't have conservative people, so therefore we're going to hold back on approving all these things. I mean, or for religious reasons or what other excuses they would have. So anyway, just very annoying, and we'll see if it ultimately gets straightened out. But I know the Biden administration here is trying to trying to pacify many of the leftists in the country. And they think by approving it or getting it pushed through, it'll help get them some votes. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I know Kamala Harris was at a White House presentation a few weeks ago and, you know, talking about legalizing marijuana and the DEA move. The DEA move officially didn't happen. It's like it's going to happen. So it's not like it's officially signed and sealed, but enough was said that they feel like it's in the bag. But without the Safer Banking Act and without federal legalization on a congressional level, there's still some roadblocks here. So it's a complicated story. But as a trader, you know, looking at the stocks, they move around. You know, your little stock like Canopy Growth goes from 30 cents to, $1.30, $1.40. I think it was $1.50. You know, that's 300-400% on your money. You know what I mean? If you caught this thing, and took months and months ago, I was on another radio interview with another group in Canada, and I talked about how cheap it was, and they acknowledged, yes, it was cheap. So anyway, we'll see if these companies can pull it off, and there's a lot of stuff going on. It will just, like anything else, everything moves around, and it's going to be further opportunity when you can catch a little, some pullbacks in this sector.
In the 1930s, during Prohibition, the biggest money maker for organized crime was illegal alcohol. Since Prohibition, the biggest money maker for organized crime has been illegal marijuana. You want to take the guts out of organized crime? Take away the revenue.
Yeah, that's a whole other story, is you still have the black market going on. And even with legalization, you know, there's been stories for years how you can buy it outside the store cheaper in the black market than going into the official legal store. So why pay more money? So we have a whole other another layer of complication here. The black market is strong, still there. You know, the stories every day coming out how California, I think even Governor Newsom had made some comment, I think, in yesterday's press about they got to close a bunch of these cannabis operations that are not legal. You know, so obviously they're not getting any revenue out of it, any taxes or anything. So that's one incentive. But yeah, big black market operation continues. So I don't think that's going to stop. There's always a black market going on anyway in any product or any market. But this one seems to be, continuing and uncontrollable.
You overtax anything, people will find a cheaper way to get it.
Right.
Yeah. We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, I'm hearing from friend of the show, Mike Swanson, the Chinese stock market is starting to pick up. Is that good news for commodities like silver, gold, and copper?
Well, these markets have been improving anyway, and I assume that absolutely would be the case, you know, just more demands. It would also indicate that perhaps China's turning around, because obviously they've had an economic problem too, so I can't confirm that story. Some of the Chinese stocks have been improving. So, whether it's temporary, you know, whether President Xi over there is trying to save his country because there's been an economic depression in real estate. There's been a lot of people out of work. There's been a lot of, you know, shortages. They had their COVID problem come back a couple times. So I'm hopeful that's the case. But I know copper, which is a great indicator of economic activity, has been pushing higher, has for a while. The copper stocks have been doing better, and that's a good sign. Gold, we know the Chinese, along with Russia and other countries, have been accumulating anyway. I don't think that's more of a function of them trying to take control of the world currency and devalue the dollar and so forth and so on. But I can't disagree with that story because I see it in the stock prices of the commodities, which are improving.
Another factor that Mr. Musk might look out for is the Chinese electric vehicle makers are just going great guns, and they can sell for a lot less than a Tesla costs. One of the best-selling models I hear is called a Viking, made by Volkswagen for $10,000 in China.
That's Elon Musk was just in China, Jim. You know, last couple of days, expanding his operations there and making deals and so forth. So, don't know how where all that goes. I mean, basically, it's been a slump because of the realization that you and I have talked about, lack of power to charge these things, the expense of the vehicles, and maybe this new one you're talking about helps solve that problem. But, you know, Tesla still has the name in the industry. You know, Rivian came across, and that's sort of, they're still making it, but they're having a big financial problem. And the Ford Motor Company had to cut back on their production of the EVs because of the lack of demand. So, you know, the public's not there yet. So whether it's a $10,000 vehicle or not, you know, where do you charge your vehicle? You have to wait hours in line. I mean, I used one a few times, and I gave up waiting in line or paying high fees to charge. And I had to buy a new car about a year and a half ago. I bought a hybrid, which now seems to be the trend. And, you know, of course, the argument is oil is going to become more expensive at some point, but that has not been the case. And if there's a political change in administration here in the U.S., which I'm hopeful for, get the Democrats out and Trump in, you can open up the valves of the oil production, which I think would depress the price of oil and make it more affordable. So that would be great for the hybrid or just ordinary gas users. So I'm not, you know, Tesla's had problems because of the production. They've had the reduction of, you know, reducing prices, lack of demand. But he was in China doing some deal over there, and I have infinite faith in Elon Musk. So, you know, maybe he'll come up with another product. Maybe it'll be a flying car or the self-drive vehicles that he's been talking about. So I still think Tesla is a great investment because of the person behind it. But we do have issues with the EVs, of course, about it, even though you may have a cheap model come out.
On other things going on, Bitcoin has taken a hit. Are cryptocurrencies a pretty risky way to make money?
No different than the stock market or the gold market or any market. It depends if you are investor, trader. You know, you can say cannabis is the same thing. These are all wild markets with extreme volatility, a lot of stories. You know, even if you're in the blue chip stocks in the U.S., you can get caught, you know, during a crash or a shakeout. So are they more risky? I think not, because now you've got Larry Fink and BlackRock, which is the largest money manager on the planet, suddenly, as you know, months ago, creating that new ETF for Bitcoin. And now there's some holdup now on the Ethereum. There's supposed to have been an Ethereum ETF. And the rumor is that Gary Gensler at the SEC is giving them a hard time, and don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, it's like, you know, where's the wind blowing? The wind blowing has been toward Bitcoin, toward cryptocurrency. Why? Because people around the world, not just here in the U.S., don't trust the currencies. And, you know, if you're in the middle of nowhere, you can transact in Bitcoin. You don't have to worry whether the dollar is up or the dollar is down or your currency is up or down. It's an exchange outside the system, which is what the world wants. And that's an expression of the fact that it's gone up and stayed up, has not gone to zero as many had predicted. You know, I know Charlie Munger over at Berkshire Hathaway and maybe Warren Buffett himself think they're, you know, bad investments and you should stay away from them. And they have a different philosophy. But, you know, I'm taking more of the, you know, balanced portfolio philosophy or the trader philosophy. There are different ways to skin a cat, and there's an opportunity here. And so anyway, if you bought the ETF that came out just a few weeks ago from, you know, from the Grayscale had one anyway, the GBTC, which we've had in our newsletters for a while, but also the new one that was created by our other group here, the other groups that were out there, they did well. And now they're going through a little bit of a correction. And, you know, Larry, like I say, with Larry Fink and BlackRock, you know, that's huge. I mean, that legitimizes it. I mean, this wouldn't have happened if he didn't have powerful influence in Washington and other places, which he does anyway. So it just says it's here to stay. I mean, I have no idea what Bitcoin could do. I mean, it could go 80, 90,000 here or 100,000 by this year or next year. Some people saying it can go to $1 million. They have this other thing going on with Bitcoin, and I'm not an expert, super expert, even though I do a letter on the cryptocurrencies. I don't have the expertise to describe all the details, but we just had this halving process in the Bitcoin where apparently every few years the amount that are available are halved in size. Ultimately, that eliminates the amount available and will ultimately drive prices higher. So there's a halving that just occurred, and this has to very detailed stuff. Again, I'm not a programmer having to go with the way the Bitcoin had been created, that it would adjust every several years. So that in itself tells you it's going to go higher. And so I don't know how else to answer your question. You have to trade them, or you have to take a very small position. You know, buy one Bitcoin, put it away somewhere, like you take a gold coin and say, I believe that this will have value in the future. And it's a form of diversification. But there are thousands of cryptos out there. I mean, so many are trading. I mean, you got the Dogecoin, which, you know, is often referred to as the doggy coin, which is the one that Elon Musk got behind. You've got XRP, you've got Ethereum, and other names that just the list is so long. And if you just track them, if you take the time to track them, some of these things have tremendous percentage moves. I mean, some days up and down 20-30%, several 100% gains. Depends if you're following that market and trading and or investing in that market. So you gotta put your, you know, do your homework on these, or you just say, oh, I'm just gonna take the big one, the Bitcoin, and follow the trend in that one. So I respect the opinion of people like Warren Buffett or formerly Charlie Munger, I mean, who believe that it's nonsense and stuff. And these people are successful people. And are they saying one day it's just going to blow up and it's going to go to zero? And I would have said that was possible before the ETF got created. I mean, it's like the ETF being created for gold. You know, when the World Gold Council got that GLD created years ago, that created demand for gold and ultimately supported the price. And that's what's happening with these ETFs, is creating buying interest. And then the ETFs have to go out and physically get the commodity, and that drives prices up. So anyway, bottom line is I'm long-winded. I'm a bull.
Anything happening on the geocosmic front?
Nothing exciting at the moment. More going on in the geopolitical world right now. We're at war. Very little discussion about it, and we didn't even get into this. But, you know, I turned on the TV, and I just constantly complain about this to myself, and I guess maybe comments in the letter. It's like the whole world is dependent on what the Federal Reserve does. You know, like they didn't raise rates at the meeting, and the fact that rates now surprised everybody, and they're not dropping the Fed funds rate that everybody thought was going to happen. And the common sense says why? Well, because inflation is still going on. So, you know, so everybody's talking about that, but they don't talk about the wars. They're not talking about Hamas riots here in the U.S. and in Canada, and in fact, these are paid, paid militants, and more likely, and you know, I'm getting myself into trouble, but you know, George Soros is probably behind a good part of it, and people are looking to take down the countries. So this is going on. So you know, you got these crazy people running around, paid militants. You've got immigrants, illegal immigrants coming across the borders. Many of them could be military related. We have a lot of personal risk in our lives. A lot of things besides what the Fed does is what I'm saying. The financial media is really, really manipulated. They're told on some level that they can't talk about certain things. That's the only thing I can believe, because other media away from the big financial and broadcast media like Newsmax and others do talk about it. So there's more, I'm more concerned. I follow the markets, but I'm also worried about my personal safety. I mean, riots and negative individuals coming into the country that could cause all kinds of problems. You know, so the Fed lowers rates or doesn't lower rates. If you got a bad administration, the bad government letting illegals come into the country and allowing things like this to happen, you know, you got other risks here. So anyway, nothing in the geocosmic front right now. There were, I recall, some solar storms a few days ago that interfered with some shortwave radio broadcasts, but the the big one, the Carrington event, hasn't happened yet. And I guess the day it comes, Jim, you and I are going to be off the air really quick, right? So we'll know the Carrington hit, because none of our broadcasts are going to work. The internet's going to be down, and the world will probably be in the state of, a medieval state of lack of communication, and it's going to be wild. We all hope that doesn't happen, but, you know, we look at the sun every day, we look out there, and, oh, it's so harmless, but people who are tracking it, you know, see things every day that are negative that are happening, and we may not see it in our lifetime, but people in the 1860s in North America sure saw it, so it's going to happen again at some point. So it's good monitoring this stuff, no question about it, not to mention all the other geocosmic variables that are out there, but thank you for bringing it up, and we'll see what happens.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.